Another day in this series where every session went Australia's way. It started at the coin toss. Australia won that, elected to field first. Pat Cummins picking up all three wickets in the morning session to lead the way for the Aussies. England 3 for 61 at lunch. They were 6 for 128 by the time the tea break rolled around, and then all out for 185 midway through the evening session. Australia had about an hour or so to get through before the close of play on day one and got there relatively unscathed. 1 for 61 at close, with Marcus Harris not out on 20. Nathan Lyon, the night watchman there, having faced five balls but didn't get off the mark. And David Warner, the only man out for 38. For England, Joe Root came up with a half century. It was the ninth time in Australian conditions that he reached the 50 mark, but is yet to convert any of them into triple figures in these parts. Corbin Middlemass alongside Dirk Nannis for Grandstand at Stumps. Hello, Dirk.
Hello, Corbin.
What's the headline out of the day?
Same old for England. I thought, look, they tried to come up with a different plan. They tried to leave as much as they could with the bat early on. Australia just wore them down with relentless pressure. Australia were right on the money from the start, with the exception of that three-over spell at the start from Mitchell Starc that was wayward. Pat Cummins was amazing, as always. Just his ability to bowl with variety, but more so hit the same spot time and time again and pressure the batsman and ask questions of the defence. He was exceptional today and was ably backed up by all the bowlers. I thought they were all pretty good, and England toiled and they had that defensive gear, and when they tried to attack, they erred, with very few exceptions. So I think they're behind where they should be. I agree with what Ian said there in terms of it's not a pitch that you can expect the side to come out here and blaze 400. This looks like you need to graft on this surface. I don't think England did that well enough. They had gear one, they had gear five, and nothing in between. And the way Australia came out and counterpunched David Warner, that was a difficult session. They bowled pretty short to him, that maybe they needed to pitch it up a bit more. But, yeah, well, I think England are going to be left wanting.
Former Australian leg spinner Kristen Beams is with us from the Apple Isle. Beamsy, what was your biggest takeaway out of the day?
Yeah, similar to Dirk, I think it was a bit of same old from an England point of view. And again, we're disappointed with them playing at some balls that they probably didn't need to play at. But in saying that, I think you can't take anything away from this Australian bowling lineup in their ability to be so tight that it felt like England, if they did get something that was a little bit loose, they were looking to score off it. So there's a bit 50-50 for me. There was some poor decision making, but there was some very good Australian bowling. And there still looks like there's a little bit in this wicket. So even though England well and truly on the back foot in this game, there's actually still enough in the wicket to say that they can do some damage, but they're going to have to take stock on what's happened today, come up with some better planning and actually get the ball full and ask some really important questions, because they're going to need to bowl well first session tomorrow.
I think that's spot on. I think Wood showed here that you can get these Australians jumping around. That was a difficult period. Dave Warner, Marcus Harris, both got hit. It's difficult if you get the ball in the right area often enough to score and to make big totals. But I think that's the challenge that these England bowlers have. I don't think they do that often enough. And I don't think they're brave enough, frankly. I don't think they're brave enough to bowl the ball up. And as we heard them in the Adelaide Test match, they don't want to pitch it up because they're afraid of being driven down the ground. But that's what you need to do. You need to get caught. Wickets, generally speaking, get those wickets caught in the slip cordon, or get them bowled in LB on the MCG surface. And I don't think they're challenging those areas of the pitch enough to be able to bring about those sorts of wickets. So, yes, you're going to get the streaky, poor shot that's caught at the point or something like that, but you're not going to get those periods where you run through four or five wickets in a row from Australian batsmen sort of scampering through there, scampering for good defensive play. I don't think that's what's going to happen.
The story of the day, England was sent into bat by Pat Cummins and the Australians. They made four changes. The openers, the new combination of Haseeb Hameed and Zach Crawley, they didn't last two overs before Hameed was out. Caught carry off Cummins bowling. Zach Crawley followed suit. He was out for just 12. Caught in the gully by Green, squared up by Cummins. And then Milan and Root batted really an hour and a half before the dismissal of Milan signalled the lunch break. So caught Warner, bowled Cummins out for 14, Milan. And at that stage, Beamsy, it was 3 for 61 at lunch. And really, the press box up here, it dominated conversation over lunch, as I'm sure it did in every backyard and across the country. Pat Cummins, what a sensational spell of bowling. He finishes with 3 for 36 off 15 overs. He was amazing again today, leading the way for the Aussies.
Yeah, how nice. You know, you have the little COVID scare, you put up your feet for a test match, and you get to run in fresh on a Boxing Day test. And he didn't really miss a beat, Pat Cummins, right from the word go. You know, and we talked about England needing to pitch the ball up and bowl full. We actually saw Pat Cummins at times be driven down the ground, and we're still saying, look, he was amazing. You know, he didn't let up. You know, his lines, his lengths were really good. But when he did err, he actually got hit down the ground. So for me, that was the little blueprint for Australia, is that they were prepared to hit down the ground. But Pat Cummins was unbelievably good. And we've seen him be so good with the new ball as well as the old ball as well. And that's probably the part that Australia probably missed in the last test match. But again, we're splitting hairs because they've been performing so, so well. But a welcome addition, Pat Cummins. He just leads everything that happens from an Australian bowling point of view, and it makes it so much easier. So for a Scotty Boland on debut, well, he actually gets to come in with the freedom knowing that everyone around him is going really well, and he's actually being led really well by his skipper. And that must be a really nice thing about being a part of this Australian bowling lineup right now, knowing that that skipper is going to do the job time and time again.
In the second session, Root was out for an even 50. He was caught by the keeper, Carey, playing away from his body off Starks bowling. Ben Stokes went for 25, trying to cut a ball that wasn't there off Cam Green, taken by Lyon at point. And then Jos Buttler out for 3, caught Boland in the deep. His first involvement in the test match, bowled by Nathan Lyon. And so after being 6 for 128 at tee, it didn't last long into the evening session. And really, the key moment of the day involved Scott Boland, who was able to produce this to pick up his first wicket in Test cricket.
Boland in full, straight stroke on the pad. Boland is appealing, two arms up in the air, gets his first Test wicket. Well, the finger's gone up, and it is a maiden Test wicket for Scott Boland on Boxing Day. And Mark Wood is walking off. He's made just 6. England now 7 for 141.
He became the 463rd man to receive a bag of green, the third debutant of the series for the Australians. 2 catches in the field and a wicket for Scott Boland, and I'm pleased to say he joins us on Grandstand at Stumps on ABC Radio across the country. Scott, firstly, congratulations from all of us.
Thank you very much.
A special day, I imagine.
Yeah, very special day. Pretty proud to put on the... I'll get my baggy green cap this morning, and to have my family there made it even better.
When did you find out you were playing?
Christmas Eve at about 5 or 6 o'clock at night.
And how was it communicated to you?
So I got a message from Tony Dottomey just to see if I was around at the hotel, and ended up catching up with him downstairs, and he gave me the good news.
That's brilliant. Scott Boland with us on Grandstand at Stumps. I'll hand you over to Kristen Beams, who's got a few questions for you.
Thank
Scotty,
you.
Congratulations on the debut. Amazing. How does it feel to, I guess, make your debut at the MCG, but from a performance point of view, know that this is a ground that time and time again you've performed in? Does that make it easier when you're standing at the top of your mark representing your country?
Not easier, but it just gives you a bit of confidence that, you know, sort of I know what I'm doing on this ground, and yeah, it's all pretty familiar. Even being in the change rooms and being in my home state makes it pretty special.
And number 19 on the back of the shirt, why that number, and could you give us some insights on that?
I usually wear 25 for in my other cricket, but that number was taken, and then my good mate James Pattinson, who's retired this year, used to wear 19, so I thought I gave him a call and see if he was happy with me wearing 19, and he was really happy, and then I had a good chat to him yesterday just about going into the game, and yeah, he gave me some nice words.
Scott, it's Dirk Nanners here. Congratulations. Cast your mind back. 12 days ago, you were playing a Big Bash game. Describe that roller coaster that's come from that being called on the plane to Adelaide to now?
Yeah, it's been a bit of a whirlwind. So I got a message at about 1 in the morning to get to Adelaide after that the COVID scare over there. And
well, you just get a text message or a phone call?
Oh, it was 1 in the morning, so I just got a text. And then went to the toilet about 4:30 and replied to it, and then got a call at 5 a.m. and just saying to get over to Adelaide. We're not sure what's going on with the close contacts and all that stuff. Flew the next morning, and even before my flight, I wasn't sure if I was playing or not. And then when I landed, found out I wasn't playing, so I could sort of relax a bit then. And and then had to played a Big Bash game a few days ago, and then I was really pleased to be into the Red Bull stuff and my preferred format.
And before the Test series, how close did you feel you were to getting a game?
I didn't know if I was going to get a game, but I thought I'd be close to being in the squad. I had some really good chats with George Bailey over the pre-season, and after a couple of Shield games, I sort of knew where I stood and knew I'd be pretty close. He sort of said to me that if they see me playing, it's probably going to be at the MCG or the SCG, where the wickets are a touch flatter. So it was nice to know that. And then, lucky to get the opportunity today.
And what's your read on this pitch compared to what you normally front up to in a Shield game?
The last couple of years there's been a bit more life in it. I think for about 5 years before that, you'd rock up and look like a one-day wicket. But now the curators are... I think he's sort of worked out what works well here, and sort of have to leave a lot of grass on it because, as you've known, we've had so many draws here in Shield cricket over the last few years. But I think they're getting the balance right now between bat and ball. I think when the Shield games were played this year, the guys who batted well got some big runs, and then the guys who bowled well got wickets as well. So I think there's a nice balance there.
And your weight, you've got the fingers going up for the LBW.
Yeah.
Nervous weight, or you knew he had them?
The only thing I was nervous of was maybe if it was going over, but the guys behind the stumps were pretty certain it was definitely hitting the stump. So, still a nervous weight.
Scott, a couple more just before we let you go. First of all, you played a bunch of limited overs games for Australia in 2016. That was a fair while ago now in the white ball version of the game. Was there ever a moment over the past 5 years where you thought, look, it's probably passed me by, I won't get the chance again at international level?
Yeah, definitely. I think probably 2 or 3 years ago, I was just sort of playing cricket year-round, and my sort of body needed a break, and I was getting really tired, and I had a few games where I didn't perform that well for Victoria, and I wasn't even sure if I was going to continue getting a game there. But I think I know what my body needs now. My body does need rest over the winter and to go get back in the gym and get nice and strong and fit, and when I'm doing that, I'm able to perform a lot better.
It's a feel-good story, as is the fact as well, Scott, that you become just the second Indigenous man in the history of Australian cricket to represent our country, which is crazy to think. There's been 463 players, and you're only the second sort of known Indigenous man to play for the country after Jason Gillespie. I understand you found out about your Aboriginality later in life. Can you tell us a little more about your journey there?
Yeah, so my granddad was adopted, so there was a gap in the family tree there, and after he passed away, my uncle wanted to find out sort of a lot more about our family history, and he sort of went into it all, and we found out probably about between 5, 6, 7 years ago now. So very proud, and my family's very proud today as well.
As they should be, Scott. Congratulations. It's a great story. Well done on your Test debut and your first Test wicket. Many more to come.
Thank you very much.
Scott Boland with us, the 463rd man to play Test cricket for Australia, making his debut today. It's a great story, isn't it, Dirk? We all love a good redemption story in Australian cricket, and particularly at 32 years of age, to get his chance today to pull on a baggy grain.
I've just find the elevation from just being a Hobart Hurricane seamer. You got whacked around the park a little bit in the last game that you played before you got called up on a plane to go over to Adelaide. Suddenly you find yourself playing in a Boxing Day Test in front of a big crowd. You've got every right to be overawed, but he bowled well today and justified in getting his first wicket.
Third debutant of the series, Kristen Beame, so he follows the path of Alex Carey and Michael Neeser to make his debut. Did you have anything like that as dramatic before your test debut?
No, I did not. It was a little bit more straightforward to me, being the only leg spinner in the squad and you're playing a test match. So it was a little bit more straightforward. But, yeah, look, I think it's a great story. I think when you're seeing people perform domestically and get their opportunity to represent their country, it's actually really special. And, you know, whilst he sort of said it doesn't make it any easier when you're standing out there, I think when you have got performance on your side, and particularly performance at a particular venue as well, I think that also plays a role. And I think when you debut a little bit later, I think you get to know your game really well. And I was probably in the same boat, is that you actually stand at the top of your mark and say, I actually got pretty good control of what my best ball is and what I'm trying to do. And that's actually a really nice feeling, you know, as opposed to some players who get their opportunity because they're a young talent and they see that they're going to have a future in this team. I'm sure it's a really nice thing to be able to perform, you know, on a Boxing Day test and go, actually, I'm pretty sure I know what to do. So I think any debut is special. It's not only special for the person who debuts, it's also very special for teammates around. I always felt much more nervous when someone was making their debut because you really want it to be a special day and a special game for them. So no doubt a special day for him to be able to pick up his first wicket on day one, and hopefully it's an amazing game for him and something he'll remember forever.
Former Australian cricketers Kristen Beams and Dirk Nannis, myself, Corbin Middlemass on Grandstand at Stumps. Australia 1-61 after 16 overs in their first innings. That's in response to England's all-out 185. So I guess if you break down the day, Dirk, 3 wickets in the morning session, fair to say Pat Cummins bowled some phenomenal deliveries to be able to unseat the openers and David Malan. They batted for only 14 overs after tea as the lower order was whipped up pretty quickly. And with Mark Wood coming in at 8, it's a longer tail than we're used to. But it was the middle session that was the killer. The 3 wickets that fell, all big names in Root, Stokes and Butler. And really all 3 of them fell to regrettable strikes.
Definitely. Joe Root plays that shot a lot. That sort of dabble that he plays down to third man. And you know, you can't get away with it as much here in Australian conditions as you can overseas. We're talking on air at the time, but that's the tendency of English batsmen to play that shot. And you get away with it in the UK on those slower surfaces. And I think that just that extra bounce brought him unstuck. But he's on 50. He's set. He's going okay. So you can kind of forgive him a little bit. But the Stokes dismissal where he plays this, it's almost like he was trying to play an uppercut, but the ball didn't quite get up and he got a little bit beaten for pace. That was a bit ugly. But the Butler dismissal was just remarkable. To come down the pitch and try and bunt the spinner into the stands, but in the last over before tea, it's kind of typifying of what this England tour has been. It's been a tour where they've tried to be ultra defensive at times, and then when they try to attack, it's not necessarily playing shots along the ground to play good quality cricket strokes. It's let's try and park these Australian bowlers into the stands. There's very little in between, and I think that shot really did typify this England tour so far. It's boom or bust.
Beamsy?
I think it was a tough old day for England. There's no doubt about that. I think they've just got to learn from the day that was pretty ordinary and probably take a leaf out of what Australia did. And I think, you know, tomorrow morning they're going to have to show up and be prepared to put that ball full. And even if it costs them some runs, because I think what we've seen today is a bit of, it's the same old story and it's history repeating. So I think it's about trying to make a difference tomorrow. I agree that they did try and leave the ball a little bit more, but that bowling attack of Australia was relentless. So I think from a bowling point for England tomorrow, I think they've got to get the ball full. If it costs them some runs in that first session, I think it's a risk worth taking, because if they don't take wickets in this first session, we're going to be continuing to say the same things over and over again, and this test match isn't going to go the journey.
Sounds like such a cliche, but Cam Green's bowling today about, he's so hard to score off, he's such a difficult guy to get away. Well, 8 overs, 1-7, and just builds pressure continually. And we saw that again today, eventually able to capitalise and pick up the wicket of Ben Stokes. But boy, he was phenomenal again today, which we sung his praises throughout the day. I mean, Beamsy's spot on as to what it means for England now. So 1 for 61, the Aussies to resume at. They did get the wicket of David Warner, so he was caught in the gully off the bowling of James Anderson, who has dismissed more left-handers in the history of Test cricket than any other bowler. Out for 38, David Warner. It's a big, big day for Marcus Harris, who resumes tomorrow 20 not out. He got through that dangerous moment headed towards stumps in the second innings in Adelaide, and we thought, right, is this going to be the day where he can pick up where he left off the day before? He wasn't able to do that out in the 20s. Nathan Lyon is the man who's with him. And I imagine, Dirk, and I've never played at this level or any high level of cricket, but if I got hit on the finger at some stage and I started bleeding through the glove, I would find that a little bit disconcerting that there's still some life in the wicket yet.
Well, I would say that you're pretty happy with something like happening at that time of day where you've, you know, it's just a little bit of blood.
Helped him get to stumps.
Helps you get to stumps, takes an over out of the game right when it's getting a little bit tricky. It's not the end of the world for him. Let's face facts. He is batting for his test career here. He can rest easy tonight knowing that he got through that period, but at the same time, he knows he has to make a big score and he's got a decent start. It's just a matter of whether these English bowlers can learn the lessons of what happened to them today, pitch the ball up a little bit more, ask or be brave enough to ask the Australian batsmen to drive them, set good defensive fields, don't try and get funky with your fields and just bowl to good defensive fielding positions and try and take wickets. That's the key for England. If they can do that, then Marcus Harris is in a really difficult situation because I don't think this pitch is necessarily a road that he can sit there and just plunder runs. That's not going to happen here.
Beamsy, look forward to chatting tomorrow.
Cheers, guys. Thanks.
Kristen Beams down in Hobart, former Aussie leg spinner. Dirk, we'll do it all again tomorrow.
Looking forward to it.
Dirk Nannis and, of course, Jim Maxwell, Ian Chappell, Jonathan Agnew, all part of our crew tomorrow as play begins from 10 a.m. tomorrow. Our coverage begins from 10 a.m. tomorrow. The first ball at 10:30 Australian Eastern Daylight Time for day two. The Aussies to resume at 1 for 61 in their first dig, having bowled out England for 185. Here's a little of how we called it throughout the day on Grandstand Cricket.
Grandstand Cricket, The Ashes, on your radio, ABC Sport Digital, and on the ABC Listen app.
Cummins bowls, forward, quick, this is caught, it's deep, and he's out! Mead is out for a duck. Pat Cummins, welcome back. The captain, the strike bowler, has taken a wicket in his first over. England sending, again, lose a cheap wicket. Hamid, Port Geary, bowl Cummins, Norton.
The stroke of the lunch break. Milan on 14 awaits Cummins. He's edging, he's caught. Warner takes the catch and Milan goes right on the lunch break. Cummins has 3 wickets in the first session on Boxing Day. England of 3 for 61.
Stark is in, edged, caught. And Root is furious with himself. Stark is all high fives. Carey's taken a comfortable enough catch. The thick outside edge of Joe Root's bat. And he's made 50, but he's fallen. 4 for 82.
Nathan Lyon from the southern end. Butler down the track, lifts him through mid-wicket. Man out there, caught. Boland takes the catch. And Josh Butler goes up to an 11-ball state. The crease, he's hit it straight down square leg's throat. Lyon picks up his first wicket. England are 6 for 128 on the stroke of tee.
Boland in full straight, struck on the pad. Boland is appealing, 2 arms up in the air, gets his first test wicket. Well, the finger's gone up, and it is a maiden test wicket for Scott Boland on Boxing Day. And Mark Wood is walking off. He's made just 6. England now 7 for 141.
Lyon quicker ball, Leach edging caught. Smith takes it at first slip, and Jack Leach is out. He falls to the opposition spinner. The Goat's got another. England 9 for 176. 9 down for 185 as Lyon starts a new over. Robinson comes dancing down the track, hits it in the air, out to mid-wicket, caught. Boland stands underneath it, takes his second catch of the innings, and England are all out. Robinson the last man to go. And England have been bowled out on Boxing Day for 185. It's taken 65.1 overs. Lyon gets the last wicket. Anderson with Warne Redding. 185 England all out at the MCG.
Anderson is bowling and he's edged and he's caught in the gully. He's caught by Crawley diving forward. As Warner pushed at that, a breakthrough for England. First ball, new spell. Warner out for 38.